Numbers chapter 36. And the chief fathers of the families of the children of Gilead, who were of the tribe of Manasseh, who were the sons of Joseph, Manasseh and Ephraim, these chief fathers, these leaders of that family, came near and spake before Moses and before the princes, the chief fathers of the children of Israel. And so now we see the leaders from the tribe of Manasseh approaching Moses and the other elders of the congregation with a problem, with a dilemma, with a question. These fellows come before Moses and the leaders, and they said, verse 2, the Lord commanded Moses, to give the land for an inheritance by lot to the children of Israel. The Lord commanded Moses to divvy up the land and give it to the various tribes. They were to take this land that they were headed into and divvy it up, tribe by tribe, according to the lots. And verse 2 goes on to say, my Lord Moses was commanded by the Lord to give the inheritance of Zelophehad, our brother, unto his daughters. Now you might remember Zelophehad and his five daughters. Way back in chapter 27, these five daughters, these five women, came to Moses and said, Zelophehad, our father, died in the wilderness, and he had no sons, and we are his offspring, five daughters. Now, according to the regulations, the inheritance went to the sons. And so these women were saying, but there are no sons in our family. And do you want our father's name to be lost? It's not fair, they said, that our father's name and his property should be lost just because there are no sons. Moses heard that and sought the Lord and came back and said, you know, you're right. If there are no sons in the family, then the inheritance ought to go to the daughters, and they ought to perpetuate the father's name. And we discussed that in chapter 27. That these women were bold would have made Gloria Steinem proud. That is, they stood up for what they knew was right. And God said, it's true. And now these men, though, come with a question, a sidebar, a dilemma. They said, now, verse 3, the word and should be translated now as it is in your newer versions. Now, if they, these five daughters, be married to any of the sons of the other tribes of the children of Israel, then shall their inheritance be taken from the inheritance of our fathers, and it will be put into the inheritance of the tribe whereunto they are received, or the tribe of their husbands. So shall it be taken from the lot of our inheritance. And when, verse 4, the jubilee of the children of Israel shall be, then shall their inheritance be put unto the inheritance of the tribe whereunto they are received. So shall their inheritance be taken away from the inheritance of the tribe of our fathers. What's being said here is simply this. These leaders from Manasseh said, wait a minute, Moses, there's a problem. If these five daughters who have now received the inheritance of their dead dad, Zelophehad, if they marry men of another tribe, well then, the land, the property, is going to be under the control of men from another tribe. And we are going to lose territory that should rightly be ours, in our tribe. So if these gals marry men from another tribe, well then, we're going to be the ones who lose out. Our property will be diminished. Our lands will be reduced. We will lose territory tribally if these gals marry somebody from another tribe. Well, Moses heard that, verse 5, and he commanded the children of Israel according to the word of the Lord, saying, the tribe of the sons of Joseph, or Manasseh, hath said well. Moses said. They're raising a real issue, a significant one. So this verse 6 is the thing which the Lord doth command concerning the daughters of Zelophehad, saying, let them marry to whom they think best, only to the family of the tribe of their fathers shall they marry. So that, verse 7, so shall not the inheritance, the land, of the children of Israel remove from tribe to another tribe. For every one of the children of Israel shall keep himself to the inheritance of the tribe of his fathers. So, verse 8, every daughter that possesses an inheritance in any tribe of the children of Israel shall be wife unto one of the family of the tribe of her father, that the children of Israel may enjoy every man the inheritance of his fathers. Neither shall the inheritance, verse 9, remove from one tribe to another tribe, but every one of the tribes of the children of Israel shall keep himself to his own inheritance. All that's to say simply this. Moses declares, you've raised a valid point. And here is what the Lord would say, what you should do. If a woman receives the inheritance from her father because there are no sons, well then she can marry whoever she wants to, as long as that man that she marries is from the same tribe. She is not to marry someone from another tribe. She's to marry inside her tribe, lest the inheritance be lost, lest the tribe diminish. This is an important principle. For you see, we come to the final chapter of the book of Numbers. And this is the final word that is in this book that tells us how to make life count. We've talked about this over and over. The book of Numbers is dealing with that central issue, making your life count. It's a book that deals with order and organization, discipline and direction, responsibility and accountability. The book of Numbers is a challenging one. It is getting people in order, for they are about to enter into the promised land, a greater destiny, new territory. And as we have talked about over and over, this book is for you, it's for me, when we say, Lord, we want to go on, to go further, to go in, to go deeper. And Lord, we recognize that that is going to mean that there is accountability, instruction, orderliness, organization. The book of Numbers is about making your life count so that you, so that I, so that we don't wander around aimlessly in life. Even though we're His children, even though we're born again, yet you can see many, many people whose lives just go in circles year after decade after longer. It is perhaps because they haven't discovered the secret of making your life count. The principles that we've been talking through and looking at as we've studied the book of Numbers. Numbers, counting. Now what interests me as we come to this final chapter, this is the Lord's, if you would, final word. Is that your final answer? Yes. This is the final word. This is the wrap-up. This is a real key, it seems to me, as though God is saying, in having this issue be the final one discussed and addressed in the book of Numbers. What issue is that? Be careful who you marry. Be careful who you marry. Marry within your tribe, or you'll lose ground. You'll lose territory. You'll be diminished. Marry who you want, but marry in your tribe. If you don't marry in your tribe, if you don't marry among your tribe, you are going to lose ground. You're going to miss out. And it's interesting to me that this is God's final word in this whole discussion of order and responsibility. Be careful, be careful, be careful who you marry. Now, in the book of 2 Corinthians, I'll read it to you, a scripture that is familiar to most of you. In chapter 6, Paul the Apostle in verse 14 says, "Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? What communion has light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial," or the devil? In other words, make sure that you are not unequally yoked with a non-believer. The book of Amos says, "How can two walk together except they be agreed?" Paul here says, "What fellowship has light and darkness?" How do you think you are really going to navigate life successfully if you are yoked with an unbeliever, if you marry outside of your tribe? There's no common ground. You're going to lose territory. It's not going to work. And I suppose that all of us that have been around for a while and seen people ignore that commandment and say, "Well, it doesn't really matter if I marry somebody outside of my tribe," we have seen what comes down the road. A loss of ground. Heartache, a diminishing of what could have been, restriction, loss, headaches. It doesn't work. Now I know that most of you are married here tonight, and you say, "How does this apply to me?" It applies to you as a parent, that you preach this constantly. That you make sure that your kids know that it's a non-negotiable. It's not open for discussion. It can't even be a consideration for them to marry outside of the tribe of the kingdom of God. Lest they lose what could have been, what would have been, what should have been. Yeah. Marriage can be the closest thing on earth to heaven, or it can be the closest thing on earth to hell. And man, it's true, and you've seen it, I have too. where people put themselves in hellish situations because they close their ears. They don't give heed to what the word of the Lord is. Don't be unequally yoked. You can't have fellowship. You'll end up in misery. You'll lose ground. You'll lose territory. I told a story Sunday night about a guy that was speeding down the highway, going about, 120 miles an hour or so. A cop sees him speeding down the highway, turns on his siren, flashes his lights, chases him down. The guy finally pulls over. The cop gets out and says, "I cannot believe how fast you were going. What kind of an excuse do you have? What kind of reason do you have for going 120 miles per hour?" And the cop said, "Look, I've had such a long day. I'm pooped. I'm tired. I tell you what, if you can give me a reason that I've never heard before, then I'll let you go." And the guy looked at the cop and said, "I've got a good reason why I was going 120. What's that?" the cop said cynically. "Last week, my wife ran off with the policeman." We have these things all worked out, folks. Maybe it's the Lord. Don't go there, John. Oh, my. He said, "Last week, my wife ran off with the policeman. And he said, when I looked in the mirror and saw you coming, I was afraid that you were he and you were bringing her back again." And you know, quite frankly, that's the way it all too often is in a marriage that is unequally yoked. People that are not yoked equally have a tendency to say, "How do I get out of this? I'm trapped. I erred. I goofed. I thought I was going to lead him to the Lord. I thought he was interested in the Lord. Or I thought I was going to see her become a believer." And they find out that God knew all the time what he was talking about. Don't go there. It doesn't work. It'll break your heart. The Lord says, be not unequally yoked together. He says, "Come unto me, all you that are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Learn of me. You'll find rest in your soul." Yoke to the Lord, and then stay close by him and listen to him. The one is saying to you who bore the yoke, literally, Jesus Christ, the yoke, that wooden yoke of the cross of Calvary, the yoke that was on his shoulders, the yoke that was on his neck, was a cross where he hung in there for you, where he hung on that cross for me. He says, "I love you. I know what's best for you. I want you to listen to me. The government is on my shoulders," Isaiah 9:6. "I know how to govern you. I know what's best. The yoke that I want you to take is my yoke. I want you to be yoked with me. My yoke is the cross where you die to your opinions, to your perspective, and you listen to what I have to say. Can you trust me?" the Lord would say. "Absolutely," he would respond. "Because I died for you. Listen. Take my yoke upon you. Learn of me. Listen to me. Don't be unequally yoked with an unbeliever." Now, you might object at this point, and you might say, John, I don't like your exegesis here. I don't like your interpretation. I find it faulty. Because these guys are not being told to not marry pagan women. These are all Israelites. They're all children of Israel. So the women here, the daughters of Zelophehad, are being told to marry other Jews or other Israelites. So John, I don't like your analogy. Well, if that's your position, I'll travel that road with you gladly. And I'll say even more. Not only should we obviously not marry an unbeliever, but we should obviously stick within our tribe. What do you mean? The tribe of your fathers. What does that mean? There ought to be a word that goes out from you, Dad, from you, Mom, to your sons and to your daughters, saying what I said to my daughter in her final chapter. The night before Jesse Lee was taken to heaven, my final word to her was Numbers 36. My final word to Jessica was, honey, you mustn't marry not just a non-Christian, that's a given. You mustn't marry a person who's weaker than you are spiritually. You must marry someone who is equally yoked. You must marry someone who has the same heart as you do. In fact, I said to her, you must marry someone, honey, who can lead you. Not just don't marry a pagan, but you marry within the tribe in this nation that you're in. The tribe of your fathers. Jesse, I said, you must marry someone who is not just a believer, but someone who can lead you in the ways of the Lord. And as I've said before, her answer cracked me up. She looked to me and she said, well, Daddy, she said, you know, how am I going to find that kind of guy that can lead me? She said, if I went to a good church, I would have a chance to meet some of those guys maybe. And she laughed and I laughed and we laughed. How can I find the man, she said. And many of you know the story. When she went to heaven the next day, when I drove down from morning worship, when I heard the news that there had been an accident, and I refused to believe that it could possibly be Jesse Lee. But when I came up to the front door, my wife was there and just bawling and embraced me, and Peter John followed right behind her. And Peter John, my son, who at that time was a senior, said, Dad, she found the man. She found the man. She found the man. Peter knew that I would know what that meant. The one who can lead her truly. The Son of Man. See, this was my final word to my oldest daughter. You marry somebody who is strong in the faith, who's of the tribe of your father. You don't marry some guy who's just a nice Christian boy. You marry someone who's more radical than you, Jesse. Someone who's stronger than you. Someone who's deeper than you. You don't settle. Well, you know, he goes to the Methodist church down the road that isn't sure whether the Bible's inspired or not, but it's peace now and civil rights and all that. That doesn't cut it, hon. The final word of Numbers is this. You marry within your tribe. And Mom and Dad, I guess I challenge you tonight with this. You preach it, and you preach it, and you preach it, and you preach it. Grandpa and grandma, you preach it and you preach it and you preach it and preach it. And single person, you listen. Our kids are not, I don't believe, being exhorted strongly enough by parents here in the fellowship about marrying within their tribe. Sometimes I think some say, well, I'm just glad she found somebody. Or I'm glad he's moving out. I'm not going to fight it too much. Let's just get him out of here. See? And what we need to say over and over is, honey, that is if she's a girl, not you guys telling your son that. Or, son, listen to me. You marry someone who's of the tribe of your father, or you'll lose ground. You'll lose your inheritance. You'll lose what could have been, what should have been. You preach it constantly, and you pray for it diligently. You preach it, and you pray it. You need to pray, mom and dad, if you have kids at home. You need to pray for your kids' spouses right now. Well, my kid's only 6 months old. Well, you're 6 months late already. You need to pray. Or should I say, you get to pray. Constantly. Lord, right now there is a girl for my son. Somewhere on this planet. Oh, Lord, shape her and make her to be the helpmeet for my son that will see him not lose ground but take new territory, not be held back but go on. Lord, you know that there is a man somewhere on the face of this earth for my daughter. Would you bless him? Lord, would you work in his heart? Would you make him sound in the scriptures and full of passion for you? Would you bless him? It is never, listen, it's never too early to pray diligently for the spouse of your children. And if you haven't been doing that, if your kids are 15 or 10 or 5 or 3 months old, you need to begin. Come on, John, where do you get that? Well, from a godly guy by the name of Noah. You've heard me share before that the amazing thing about Noah was he built on the ark a place for he and his wife, a place for his 3 sons and their wives. He pounded away day after day. He built this ark with rooms for his sons and their wives. Listen to me. When you work out the math, when you do the chronology, he built those rooms for his sons and their spouses 20 years before his sons were born. By faith, in faith, with faith, he was constructing, putting energy in, making the effort, believing for the salvation of his sons and his sons' wives. And the project began 20 years before his first son was born. That's faith. That's energy. That's belief. That's expectancy. And I suggest to you that that's what we get to do. That's what mom and dad, if you care about your kids at all, you need to do. Pray. Pound away day after day. Lord, help my son to choose wisely. Help my daughter to discern properly. And for their spouses, whoever they might be, wherever they are today, Lord, protect them and develop them and have your way. You preach it to your kids and you pray for your kids that they will marry within the tribe of their fathers. You preach it to them. You pray for them. I was telling Tammy today, one of the greatest blessings of my life is to have my in-laws, my daughter-in-law Amanda, my son-in-law Seth, as being lovers of God. Peter's wife Amanda is perfect for him. Christy's husband, Seth, I wouldn't choose anybody over him or other than him. I look as I've watched these kids, as all you parents watch your kids, and I marvel and I say, I am so blessed. And to have Jack and Julie DeBoer from this tribe, the parents of Amanda, from our fellowship, John and Sharon Gilbert, the parents of Seth, Christy's husband, from our fellowship. These are guys that have served as elders. These are couples that love God. These are kids that have grown up in church. I go, awesome. Lord, you just keep blessing me. I can't believe it. My kids have a passion for you, Lord. You've done that. I thank you for it. And now, my two older ones that are married, their spouses are lovers of Jesus and committed to ministry and come from the same tribe. I look at John Gilbert and I talk with Jack DeBoer. We're all of the same tribe. And it's fantastic. And I just marvel. And honestly, tears come to my eyes. I say, Lord, how good you are. But like John and Sharon Gilbert and Jack and Julie DeBoer, so Tammy and I have preached it to our kids and prayed for our kids and their in-laws or their spouses before we even had a clue of who they might be. See, folks, I'm not here sharing with you some theory on parenting. I'm telling you what works. It's based upon God's Word, and I've seen it work out. Mom and Dad, you have a responsibility, a privileged responsibility, to speak to your kids and say, don't you settle for a man, honey, who's less passionate for Jesus Christ than you are. Son, don't you go for one that's going to slow you down in the territory that you're to take. And they need to hear this over and over. And you need to pray it day after day. And watch and see what God will do. When you say, not only may my life count, but Lord, I want my kids' lives to count too. God's final word, His final answer in the realm of accountability, responsibility, duty, and opportunity, make sure that they marry within their tribe, lest they lose ground. Whether you want to say the tribe means don't marry outside of the kingdom, that's obvious. Don't marry a pagan. Or more exactingly, for you that wish to be more careful in your interpretation, you marry within the same tribe, the same people, the same intensity. Well, John, are you suggesting we have to get married to people at the Applegate Fellowship? No, I'm not suggesting that. Don't misunderstand it. Any of you hear that, you haven't heard my heart at all. I'm saying that you see your kids, we see our kids, marry people that are passionate about Jesus Christ. And not just sort of, well, I guess I better go. It's Christmas. It's Easter. See. You say, John, this is so simple. I know it's simple. It's elementary, Watson. But it's essential. The book ends on that note. Well, in verse 10. I like this. Even as the Lord commanded Moses. Listen, mark this. Take note. Even as the Lord commanded Moses, so did the daughters of Zelophehad. For Mala and Tirza and the big one, Hogla, and Milcah and Noah, the daughters of Zelophehad, were married unto their father's brother's sons. They were married into the families of the sons of Manasseh, the son of Joseph. And their inheritance remained in the tribe of the family of their father. I love this. They not only heard it, they did it. As the Lord commanded, so did they. And as we've talked about time and time again, it is not hearing the word that brings the blessing or agreeing with the word that brings the blessing. It's doing the word. As the Lord commanded Moses, so did the daughters of Zelophehad. Are you hearing? Are you really? Are we hearing this tonight? To preach it to our kids and to pray it for our kids. Are you hearing this? Or are you going, yeah. Mike Coughlin, young pastor, was walking into the fellowship that he's teaching at. And he was greeted by one of the guys in the parking lot. We'll call him John Doe. And John Doe said, Pastor, pray for me. I was in surgery last week, and he went ahead and said it. So, you know, I was in surgery, went ahead talking, and so pray for me because I'm still recovering a bit. And Mike, he didn't really totally hear what this brother was saying. Something about surgery, something about needing help. And so he gets in the pulpit, and it's a small fellowship there, and he prays, and he says, Lord, those that are sick or recovering, bless them. John Doe, Lord. Lord, may you totally restore him to productivity and full function. And with that, he heard a gasp and then some muffled laughter. And he was sort of shaken up, but finished the prayer and went on. Afterwards, John Doe, we'll call him, said, Pastor, I don't think you heard what I was saying. I went in last week for a vasectomy. And here he prays for productivity and full restoration. Well, anyway, I think sometimes that happens to us in church. We don't hear it. We only hear parts. We don't hear the whole thing. We hear what's being said, blah, 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 yada, 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 whatever. But we don't hear what the Spirit is saying. This is what, John, you need to do. You need to preach it to your kids now and pray it for your kids today. It's my final word, John. My final word in this whole discussion of order and responsibility of going on is to make sure that your family, your children do well. Don't let them marry outside of the tribe of their father. I hope and pray in this simple exhortation that the Spirit might re-energize many of us today to say, got it. I'm going to talk to my son. I'm going to talk to my daughter regularly. I'm going to pray for them passionately that they don't marry outside of the tribe. May God give us wisdom. Let's pray. We take time tonight, right now, Father, to pray for our sons, our daughters. Father, how I pray that we might really explain to them in a way that makes sense, in a way that they'll hear the importance of not being unequally yoked, of making wise decisions. Father, we pray for our children that, Lord, you would bless them with helpmeets and spouses should your son tarry. That they would choose mates that would not be holding them back, that would not cause them to lose ground. But that, Lord, hand in hand, side by side, they might step out into the land of destiny. Father, give our young people wisdom. For those that are in the amphitheater tonight or listening over the airwaves or hear this tape or whatever, Father, protect men and protect women from the temptation of marrying outside of the tribe. Oh, Father, those that are single here tonight, give them understanding. May they not settle, Lord, for second best. May they not miss out on being blessed. Lord, you're the one that told us these things, to not be unequally yoked. You're the one that said to us that we're to take your yoke and walk with you and learn of you and be submitted to you. Lord, we have found that your ways are right. We have discovered, Lord, that when we go our way, it leads to disaster. When we do our thing, it leads to heartache and heartbreak and loss. Father, we don't want that for our kids or for ourselves. Oh, Father, give the Applegate Fellowship family real wisdom. Give the parents here special grace and anointing to share and to pray. Lord, we believe you for the salvation of our kids and their spouses. We embrace the words, Lord, that were said that day by Paul to the Philippian jailer. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house. Lord, we believe you for that. That our households are going to be saved and do well. Lord, you keep that which is committed. Lord, you desire that none should perish, but that all should come to repentance. I know it's your intention, Lord, to bless our children and to bless their marriages. So now, Lord, help me with Ben and Mary. Help us with our kids that are home or our grandkids, that we might share truth with them, that we might pray passionately for them. Help us, Lord, that this tribe does not lose territory. In Jesus' name. Amen.